All right, let's dive in today. We're tackling a question that I think is super relevant right now, with the focus on clean energy and all, but also making sure we're protecting our environment.
Yeah, definitely a hot topic.
It's how do we balance that need for hydropower
Right.
with the whole environmental stewardship thing?
Yeah.
And we're going deep on a big legal case for this, the American Rivers v. FERC case. Ninth Circuit, big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially for all you law students out there, this is going to be like your bread and butter if you're interested in admin law,
Yeah, or environmental regulations.
especially with these big energy projects.
Absolutely.
So we're going to break down how the Federal Power Act, we'll call it FPA from now on, tries to walk that tightrope
Yeah, find that balance.
between, keeping the lights on and keeping the fish swimming,
Right.
and what that means for FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission,
Right.
their power to basically say yay or nay to these big dam projects.
Yeah, their licensing authority, a huge part of this.
So to get us started, just to set the scene, this case is all about relicensing a couple of really old hydroelectric projects, like
Oh,
way old,
yeah, these things have been around forever.
on the Mackenzie River in Oregon. They're run by the Eugene Water and Electric Board.
EWE
Yeah, we'll call them EWB.
makes it easier.
The projects themselves are called Leberg and Walterville.
Familiar names for anyone following hydro.
And get this, Leberg's been around since 1930 and Walterville since 1911.
Wow.
Yeah, over a century old. Talk about grandfathered in.
Right. And their original licenses actually expired back in 93.
93, so they've been operating on borrowed time for a while.
Well, they've been going through this renewal process, but it's been a long road.
I bet.
So, yeah, you've got these projects that have been powering homes and businesses for over 100 years, and now everyone's trying to figure out what their future should look like.
That's a lot of history riding on this decision.
Absolutely.
And so EWB, they did apply for a renewal, a 40-year license, and FERC did give it to them.
Yeah, they got the green light.
But that's not where the story ends.
Not even close.
The problem was, well, from the environmental group's perspective, that FERC didn't include all the conditions that the state and federal fish and wildlife folks had recommended.
Right, kind of like the fine print.
Yeah, like the, but wait, there's more part of the deal.
Exactly.
And these recommendations were all coming from these two sections of the FPA, 10J and 18.
Which we're going to break down in detail, don't worry.
Yeah, we're going deep on those. But for now, just know that's where the conflict started brewing. So that's when the legal battle really kicked off.
Yeah, gloves came off.
You had these environmental groups like American Rivers banding together.
With the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, state and federal agencies all saying, hold up, FERC.
We don't think you've thought this through.
Basically, they felt that FERC was either ignoring the environmental impact,
Or not giving it enough weight.
yeah, or maybe even exceeding their authority, stepping on some toes.
Possibly that's for the courts to decide.
Right, and they decided to take it to court to figure that out.
Makes sense.
So that's how we got American Rivers v. FERC, the showdown.
The main event.
And just to be clear, the Ninth Circuit didn't completely side with one side or the other.
It's rarely that clean cut.
Yeah, it was more like, okay, FERC, you're good on this part, but this other part, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, they actually sent part of the case back down to FRC, specifically on the Section 18 stuff.
Which shows how tricky it is to balance all these different interests, energy, environment, and the law.
Oh, yeah, it's a tangled web for sure.
And it shows how carefully the court had to look at everything.
Absolutely, they didn't take this lightly.
All right, so let's break down the legal nitty-gritty here.
Okay, time for the law school stuff.
First up, Section 10 of the FPA.
This one's a biggie.
Now, for those of you following along at home with your legal textbooks,
Your trusty Black's Law Dictionary.
this section basically says FERC has to consider recommendations from those fish and wildlife agencies.
Right, like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Marine Fisheries Service, and state agencies.
For how to protect the fish and wildlife.
Yeah, how to mitigate the impact of the project and even enhance their habitat.
So it's like Congress saying, hey, FERC, you can't just rubber stamp these damn projects.
Listen to the folks who know the rivers.
They know what the fish need. And the
Exacto.
court, they really honed in on that word, consider.
Oh, yeah. Statutory Interpretation 101.
Because it gets to the heart of how much power FERC actually has.
Right. Is it a suggestion box or a binding agreement?
Exactly.
Good question.
So the court said, yeah, FERC has to give due weight to these recommendations.
They can't just ignore them.
But they do have the authority to reject them in the end.
If they have a good reason.
Yes, the catch.
Yeah, there's always a catch.
It's not enough to just say no.
They've got to show their work, like back up their reasoning.
It's like in math class.
Exactly.
Show your work or no credit.
Basically, the court said, look, FERC, we get that you're the ones calling the shots on energy.
But Congress clearly wanted these environmental experts to have a say.
So if you're going to go against their advice, you've got to explain yourself.
Transparency is key.
Absolutely. Keeps everyone honest.
So that's 10J in a nutshell.
A lot of legal wrangling over one word, consider.
But that's how these things go, right?
Oh, yeah. Words matter in the law.
Now let's switch gears to Section 18.
This is where things get a little more black and white.
A little more intense.
Yeah, this section is about fishways.
Fishways?
Basically like fish ladders or other structures that help fish get around or over the dams.
So they can migrate and do their fishy business?
Exactly. Got to keep those populations healthy.
Makes sense.
And under Section 18, it's not just recommendations.
It's more like orders, right?
Yeah, these are prescriptions, almost like a doctor's prescription.
From the top brass, no less.
This is the Secretaries of the Interior and Commerce saying, this is how you're going to build this fishway.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
And the court was very clear on this one.
Crystal clear.
They said FERC cannot reject or modify these prescriptions.
At all.
Nope. Their hands are tied.
So they either include the prescription exactly as written in the license.
Or they deny the whole project.
No compromises.
No negotiating with the secretaries on this one.
Wow, that's a huge difference in power compared to 10J.
It is, right. Shows how Congress really wanted to protect fish passage.
They put their foot down on this one.
For sure.
And the court, they pointed to a previous Supreme Court case to back this up.
Yeah, the Escondido case.
Escondido Mutual Water Co. v. La Jolla Band. A mouthful.
But super important for understanding this whole Section 18 thing.
So what's the takeaway from that case? Why did it matter so much here?
Well, in Escondido, the Supreme Court basically said that if the secretaries say you need a fishway, you need a fishway. End of story.
FERC can't argue with them.
Nope. Can't say, oh, we think this other type of fishway would work better.
Or this one's too expensive.
None of that flies.
The secretaries have the final word.
Because Congress gave them that authority specifically, they're the experts.
So really, it all comes down to the wording in these two sections, huh?
That's what the court focused on, yeah.
10J says, shall consider, which gives SNERC some wiggle room.
Yeah, some discretion to make the final call.
But 18 says, shall require.
Which leaves no room for interpretation.
It's a direct order. Got to follow the prescription.
And this shows how crucial it is to pay attention to every word in the law.
Every little detail matters.
One word can shift the balance of power.
That's a good reminder for all the future lawyers out there.
Always read the fine print.
All right, so we've covered 10J and 18.
Two big players in this case.
Now let's talk about NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act.
Another acronym to add to the list.
This one's all about making sure agencies think about the environmental impact of their actions.
Before they do anything major.
And in this case, the environmental groups argued that FERC used the wrong baseline for their environmental analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is where it gets a bit technical.
Basically, they said FERC should have compared the impact of the dams.
To a pristine river, like what the river would be like if the dams were never built.
Instead of comparing it to the current state of the river with the dams already there.
Right, which makes sense on some level, right? You want to see the full impact.
Yeah, how much are these dams really changing the river?
That's the question.
But the Ninth Circuit, they sided with FERC on this one.
They said, look, NEPA doesn't tell you exactly how to pick a baseline.
You just have to be reasonable.
And in this case, they thought it was reasonable for FERC to use the status quo as their baseline.
Meaning the river with the dams as it is now.
Because they were looking at relicensing an existing project, not building something brand new.
Right. So it's more about what are the impacts of continuing to operate these dams.
Not what would be the impact of building these dams in the first place.
Which I guess makes sense practically.
Yeah, it's a different kind of assessment.
You're not starting from scratch. You're dealing with what's already there.
And the court also brought up the rule of reason.
Which sounds very philosophical.
It kind of is. It's this idea that agencies can't be expected to analyze every single possible option.
Especially if it's, like, totally unrealistic.
Yeah, they have to be reasonable.
So in this case, the court deferred to FERC's expertise.
They said, look, you're the technical experts.
We trust you to pick a baseline that makes sense.
As long as it's logical and backed up by evidence.
That's a lot of trust in FERC.
Well, that's how the courts generally approach agency decisions. They give them some leeway.
As long as they're not being totally arbitrary or crazy.
Exactly.
So what does all this mean for our law students out there?
All right. Time for the key takeaways.
What should they be writing in their notes about American Rivers v. FERC?
Well, first off, this case is a great example of how different federal agencies work together.
Or sometimes how they butt heads.
Yeah, it's not always smooth sailing.
But it shows how environmental protection is woven into the whole energy licensing process.
It's not just FERC making decisions in a vacuum.
They have to consider these other agencies and their expertise.
And the courts are there to make sure everyone's playing by the rules.
Another big takeaway is the importance of statutory interpretation.
Like we talked about with shall consider versus shall require.
Those two little words make a world of difference.
They determine who has the final say, and that impacts the environment directly.
So yeah, pay attention in your legal writing classes, folks.
Those commas and semicolons matter.
And this case also shows how courts handle disagreements between agencies.
It's not like they pick a winner and a loser.
They try to figure out what Congress intended.
And then they make sure everyone's following that intent.
Which can be tricky. Especially with something as complex as hydropower licensing.
Oh, yeah. Lots of moving parts.
And for those of you interested in NEPA and environmental law, this case shows how much flexibility agencies have.
When it comes to analyzing environmental impacts,
they have to be reasonable, but they have some choices to make.
Like picking the right baseline for comparison.
And as long as they justify their decisions, the courts will usually give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, they're not going to second guess every little detail.
So, to sum it all up, American Rivers v. FERC tells us a few important things.
It's like the cheat sheet version.
First, FERC has to listen to the fish and wildlife experts, but they don't always have to agree with them.
Right. They have some discretion under 10J.
But when it comes to fishways, those prescriptions are the law.
No arguing with the secretaries on that one.
And when it comes to NEPA, using the existing conditions as a baseline was okay in this case.
Because it was a relicensing situation, not a brand new project.
So this case, it's not just some abstract legal debate.
It has real-world implications.
It shapes how these hydropower projects get approved.
And how we protect our rivers in the process.
All right, last question for our listeners, something to chew on.
The post-show discussion question.
If FRC has this kind of power, you know, to balance between energy and the environment, how might that affect other infrastructure projects?
Oh, that's a good one.
Like pipelines, wind farms, all that stuff.
Yeah, all those projects that can impact the environment.
Because they all have to go through similar approval processes.
And they all have to deal with NEPA and these different agencies.
So think about that. How does this balance of power play out in other areas?
How does the law shape those decisions?
And if you want to learn more about that whole Section 18 thing, the fishway prescriptions.
Yeah, the Escondido case is worth a read.
It'll give you the backstory on why the courts are so strict about that.
Really lays the groundwork for American rivers.
And that's all we have for today, folks.
Thanks for joining us.
Remember, this stuff is always changing.
Admin law and environmental law, it's a moving target.
So stay informed, keep learning.
And we'll catch you next time.
On The Deep Dive.
Bye, everyone.
See you at.